do me a favor and tell your neighbor that you love them, you're glad to see them. Now just take about 15 more seconds and tell somebody sitting next to you what you're thankful for. So God, we come to you right now with thanksgiving still in our hearts. God, we showed up today for the purpose of worshiping you. God, we acknowledge that your love is real. We know it's real because one Friday, the Bible teaches us that you decided to die. But thank God for Sunday. Thank God that the tomb is empty. God, I stand before these your people. Asking that you would forgive me of all of my sins and renew me afresh. God, please allow the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. God, I stand before these your children again to preach for the good of the hearer. But God, I stand to preach most of all for your glory. God, I've adopted the Puritan's praise report as my personal prayer request. And I ask now that you would extend to me the grace to preach like a dying man, to dying women and men, as if to never preach again. God, help me to preach the spirit of this text. Help me to preach the structure of this text. Help me to preach the substance of this text. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It is good to be here this morning. If you would stand with me and turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I just want to lift one verse, one sentence in your hearing. It reads like this from the English Standard Translation of Scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may take your seat. Today, I like to do my best to preach from the idea, God is with us. Allow me to provide for you a bit of transparency. This week for me has been a struggle as it concerns sermon preparation. It's not an excuse for poor preaching. Nevertheless, it indeed has been a struggle this week. However, in my struggle, I found and was convicted of the fact that what I am very sure of is that there's something special in a name. I'm convicted of the fact that names have meaning. It was the summer of 1934 when Reverend Michael King Sr. traveled to Rome, Egypt, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and then to Berlin. It was there in Berlin, Germany, that Reverend Michael King would attend the Baptist World Alliance gathering, and in which he would tour and learn about a monk who on October 31st, 1517, started what would become a national and international, and thousands of year protests. We call it the Protestant Reformation. It started when this German monk, Martin Luther, hung what we call the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg Castle. This act that Michael King Sr. learned about had a profound impact on him. Such a profound impact that when he left Germany and went back to the United States, that he legally changed not only his name, but the name of his 5-year-old son as well, to Martin Luther King Jr. Beloved, I share this with you simply because there is something special about a name. The verses leading up to this verse tells us about a man who has a special name. If you read the context of Scripture, you find out about a man named Ahaz. Ahaz, according to 2 Chronicles 28, verses 1 through 4, was a man who was a ruler. He started his rulership at the age of 20, and he reigned for 16 years. Nevertheless, according to Scripture, Ahaz was a man who did a whole lot of wrong in the sight of the Lord. However, the name Ahaz means the one who is held by God. Ahaz was known for doing evil, known for doing wicked, known for doing wrong. Nevertheless, God had his back. During this period of time, all the wrong that Ahaz had done had finally caught up with him. There were some folk that really didn't like each other, but they liked Ahaz all the less. You know how it feels sometimes when folk that really don't care about each other will get together so that they cannot like you. This is the problem that we see with Ahaz. However, everything was going to be all right because his name means God is with him. God has his back. God was going to uphold Ahaz. And because God wanted to take care of Ahaz, he sent Ahaz a messenger, a prophet, by the name of Isaiah, to share with him some things. I feel my help coming on. He shared with him, he says, the Lord speaks and he says to Isaiah, I need you to tell Ahaz four specific things. This is what verse 4 says in Isaiah chapter 7. He says, first of all, I need you to tell Ahaz to be careful. Can I give you a lesson on leadership really quick? You need to be careful. You ought not be gung-ho, and you ought not be trying to overdo and outdo. The Lord told the prophet to tell Ahaz, this leader, you need to be careful. But watch this. Not only does he tell him to be careful, he also tells the prophet to tell this leader, you need to be quiet. Listen, look at your neighbor and just say, shh. Yeah, see, sometimes you just need to be quiet. You just, let me be quite frank, sometimes you just need to shut up. The prophet shows up to tell Ahaz, I need you, the Lord needs you to be quiet. And some of you are looking at me funny right now because you're a quiet person. But the problem is, in your quietness, your spirit is noisy. Rick Warren wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And in The Purpose-Driven Life, he declares that the people that we talk to most is ourselves. I got a little bit of crazy in me, but that's all right. You got a little bit of crazy in you, too. And I know that you speak to your doggone self, but the problem is you talk to yourself too much and you tell yourself the wrong stuff. And every now and then, you just need to be quiet. The prophet tells him to be quiet, but watch this. The prophet also says to Ahaz, don't be afraid. Can I tell you something? God will call you to do some scary stuff. He'll require of you to do some stuff that isn't popular. He'll require of you to do some things that are going to offend other people. Watch this, but he says, don't be afraid. Can I tell you something? I ain't scared. I just want you to know, I want to put it out there. I ain't scared, and you ought not be scared either if you're going to stand on the word of God. The prophet says, don't be afraid. And then he says, this fourth thing, he says, don't faint. In other words, don't try to do too much. Don't tire yourselves. You know, sometimes we just got too much on our plate. You need to share the burden. You need to share the blessing. Some of us are doing too much. You trying to do this and you trying to do that. You supposed to be at five different places at the same time. Listen, he says, don't faint. In other words, don't get crowded of stuff, watch this, that ain't gonna matter in eternity. Don't let stuff bog you down. Don't let stuff burden you that should not burden you. Don't be faint. But watch this. He also tells this prophet that he knows that there are at least three different groups of people who wanted to do Ahaz in. That they wanted to overthrow the leadership of Ahaz. That they wanted for themselves a puppet leader. They wanted a puppet king. The idea of having a puppet king or a weak king is that the weak king will listen to the voice of the people and ignore the word of God. The reality remains that there are still groups of people who try to appoint for themselves puppet leadership. They want to pull all of the strings. They want to call all of the shots. This was King Saul's problem. It was one of the very reasons that David was anointed king. 1 Samuel 15 and 24 tells us that Saul obeyed the voice of the people. The bad and burdensome news about that is that he became a puppet king, and the Bible tells us, listen, this is a sad reality, that the Lord regretted making Saul king. I need you to know something. Regardless of what people say, you ought to do what the Lord tells you to do. Regardless of what's popular and trending or even traditional, your job as a Christian is obey the Lord. Listen. Isaiah, he approaches Ahaz, and he gives him some comforting words. Verse 7 tells us at least two things. He says, what the people are trying to do, it will not stand. Can I tell you something? Your enemies and your opposers cannot stand up against the will of God. Can I tell you something? God may have to take you out, but his will is still going to be done. Listen, he says, Isaiah tells Ahaz, he says, even though what they're going to try to do won't work, they're going to try it anyway. Listen, some folk gonna try you. Listen, I'm not talking about an argument. I'm not talking about a disagreement. I'm talking about you can biblically line up what you're supposed to be doing, and people will say, no, you ain't supposed to do that. But listen, my brothers and sisters, if the Lord said, then that's what you ought to do. Listen, let me help you figure out what the Lord says. If you're saying, listen to me closely. If you say, the Lord told me to do this, but it conflicts with what the Lord says in his word, then by golly, I need you to know that the Lord did not say that. Listen to what I tell you. It matters not your experience, your wisdom, your knowledge, your upbringing, your foundation. If it disagrees with Scripture, Scripture is not wrong, you wrong. Yeah, it says, it will not stand, but they're going to try it anyway. There are a number of reasons why what they were trying would not work. Let me share two of them with you. It would not work because God had not purposed for it to work. We serve a God, my brothers and sisters, with both a perfect will and a permissive will. Can I talk about his perfect will for you? Listen, his perfect will we see in Genesis 1 and 2 when God created Adam and he put Adam to sleep and out of his side he created woman. That's God's perfect will. But then our granddaddy, Adam, you know that's your granddaddy too, he messed up, watch this, when he obeyed the voice of his wife instead of doing what God said to do. I love my wife, my brothers and sisters, and I listen to her a whole lot because she's right most of the time. But watch this, if she tells me something that the Bible does not say, I need to ignore my wife. Some of y'all got some wives you need to ignore. Some of you got some husbands you need to ignore. Some of you got some friends that you need to ignore because what they are telling you does not line up with thus says the Lord. They needed to know that it wouldn't work because God had not purposed for it to work. It wasn't his perfect will. But also, it was not his permissive will. You do know that God sometimes allows some things. Listen, sometimes God allows bad things to happen so we can depend on God. See, if you had not been stuck in between a rock and a hard place, you would have thought it was all about you, and you never would have turned to the Lord. So there's a permissive will that God allows things to happen so that you can look to him. That's what I believe he was trying to do for Ahaz, but Ahaz did not seem to get it. But watch this. It also would not work because the people who had ill will against Ahaz also had ill will against God. Watch this, and the prophets of God, the messengers of God. Let me tell you something. I'll give this to you for free because you need to know. If you got a problem with God and you decided that you're not going to do what God's messengers instruct you from God's word, listen, you're going to have a hard life. You don't believe me. You think, well, Pastor just talking because he want us to listen to him. I sure do. I want you to listen to me. Let me tell you why I want you to listen to me. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, the latter part says, "Hear me, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. But watch this. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Some of us, our lives are in a sham because for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years, Pastor Bingham has been preaching. He's been teaching Sunday school. He's been teaching Bible study. You've been coming, but you ain't been listening. He says here clearly, you need to hear and follow the instructions of God's messengers. Why? Because God's messengers are sharing God's word. If they got any other word, maybe they aren't God's messengers. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you how to identify God's messengers and those who are not. If the preacher stands here and he takes up an offering and he tells you that you need to stand in this $100 line, because God is going to bless you. I need you to know that that's a false prophet. Because if you got $100 to give, that means that God has already blessed you. Can I tell you something else? Let me give you another one, because we like attacking the prosperity gospel. But let me tell you that there's other gospels that aren't true as well. Let me give you one. The political gospel is not true. Listen. Jesus himself is not a donkey or an elephant. He's a lamb. And I need you to know something. The old rugged cross is not wrapped in an American flag. It's stained with the Savior's blood. Please preach, Derek Hayes. I'm doing the best I can. Listen, my brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of false gospels that don't line up with Scripture, and we don't need none of them. If a messenger comes and they're telling you something that does not line up with the Scripture, you need to have a meeting. You need to vote them out. You need not have them be back anymore. Watch this. The Lord God has a long reputation of sending his messengers to people who have their own agenda. They've developed their own plans. They've committed themselves to their own desires, and all that God wants is put on the back burner. My brothers and sisters, this is the problem that Ahaz, this king, had in Scripture. He was young. He came from a lineage of influence and power and prestige. But his integrity was not intact. His ego oftentimes kept him from being a good leader and a good listener. And let me pause here to say, good leaders or godly leaders are good listeners. Good leaders, perhaps not the first time, but over time, what will grasp what is being said. Truth is, God holds on to both good and bad listeners. God, because God cannot change his character, holds on to even bad leaders. I've stated before, allow me to tell you again, the name Ahaz, it implies that God will take care of you. And because God's hand was on Ahaz, watch this, Ahaz, even though he's known for doing wicked, had the capacity to hear and understand and do what God really wanted him to do. So by the time we arrive at verse 10 through 12, the Lord speaks to Ahaz again. That's good news. God keeps on reaching out. That's good news for even us today. That God keeps on reaching out. Ahaz, he ain't always been good, but God doesn't give up on him. You and I, we can embrace that fact because God didn't give up on us. Some of us, like Ahaz, we belong in the "he did wrong again" section of the sanctuary. But I can tell you something, the "he did wrong again" section of the sanctuary is a good place to be seated because God still wants to talk to that section. I ain't talking to you, I'm talking to me. Here is the section that God will do. He will keep on reaching out to you. But watch this. God tells Ahaz to ask for a sign. Verse 11 clearly says, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God." There's godly instruction here. Ahaz is not only instructed what to ask for, but more importantly, Ahaz is instructed who to ask. I'd implore you, my brothers and sisters, that if you want to know something, you need to ask the Lord. Far too often, we're asking the wrong people the right questions. You want to know something, you ask God. If you are in a hard situation, if you are in a good situation, you need to talk to God about it. Listen, social media has killed us. Them folk ain't praying for you. Them folk praying on you. But if you can talk to God about your situation, even if he doesn't get you out of your situation, we serve a God who will get in the situation with you. You heard the story about the grandfather. He was watching his grandbabies. And mama was in the kitchen. She said, "Daddy, I'm being here cooking lunch. Your grandson keeps on crying. I'm going to put him in his playpen, but don't you get that baby out of that playpen, Daddy." And sure enough, the baby just kept on crying, hollering. And after a while, Granddaddy just couldn't take it anymore. So he didn't get the baby out of the playpen. He crawled in the playpen with that baby. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that God hears you crying. He sees your tears, and he wants to get in that situation with you. But Ahaz is a fool. Ahaz refuses to ask God for a sign. He acts like it's humility, but what it is arrogance. Ahaz, to be honest with you, really did not want to do the will of God. Because he was a leader, this is not only a problem for Ahaz, this is a problem for the people. So I need you to know something. There's a fix for the problem. When Ahaz refuses to accept the fix for the problem, God promises a fix for everyone. Verse 14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Can I tell you what the sign is? It's Advent season. This is the season of expectation. The King is coming. This is the season where we expect Christ to do something. This is the season where they were expecting a king. And watch what the prophet says. He says, a virgin is going to get pregnant. You didn't hear what I said because you didn't shake your head. You could go to the worst of schools, flunk your health class, and still know that virgins don't get pregnant. But God here says, a virgin will be pregnant. And just so we're clear, he says not only is this virgin going to get pregnant, but this virgin is going to give birth. But watch this. There's something else that special happens in the text. A virgin will be pregnant. A virgin will give birth. But watch this. He doesn't just allow mama and daddy to name this baby. He says, I need you to know what you're going to call this kid. His name shall be Emmanuel. Emmanuel means, listen to this, with us is God. I'm excited about this as I come to a conclusion in my sermon. I'm almost done. I'm extremely excited at the fact that God is with us. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I get a little lonely sometimes. And in my loneliness, I can depend on the truth that God is with us. In my loneliness, I remember a special name, Emmanuel. Sometimes my burdens get a little heavy, but I can depend on the fact that God is with me. I have faced great disappointment. I faced some difficulty, found myself having to make some hard decisions, but I've been comforted in knowing that God is with me. Moses, when he wrote the law, he makes a declaration concerning God. He says, God, the God who's with us, will never leave us nor forsake us. That's good news right there, that God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. You know what not forsaken means? It means that even in your most difficult time, God will wrap his loving arms around you. God is with us. Beloved, times will get hard, but his name is Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, everything will not always go your way, but his name is Emmanuel. God is with us. I need you to know that you're going to get sick. You're going to have some loved ones to die. Sometimes you're going to run out of money. Your money is going to be shorter than the month. The bills are going to pile in, but God is with you. You may not have the groceries that you want, but God is with you. You might have Black Friday next week because you couldn't pay that electric bill, but God is with you. You ain't excited about the name Emmanuel, so let me give you another name. Jesus. Yeah, see, it's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to have to bow. It's at the name of Jesus that every tongue is going to have to confess. Watch this, that he is Lord. Watch it. The Lord who's with us. God is with us. You ain't with me today, but that's all right, because I know that God is with me. And can I tell you some good news of the gospel? He's with you as well. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. This particular verse is not an everybody verse. This is not a verse that applies to church members. This is a verse that applies to God's children. And I need to ask you today, have you been adopted? Have you been picked by God? Let me close with this story. My mama, my daddy, had two sets of twins, and then there was an accident. That accident stands before you, you today. And even though I was my mama and daddy's accident, I was God's plan. Walter and Valma Hayes gave birth to me, but God adopted me. Let me tell you the good news about adoption. Adoption means that you wasn't no accident. Adoption means that daddy didn't slip up. Adoption means that you've been picked. God picked you, and I need you to know something. According to the scripture, when he picked you, he wrote your name in the palm of his hand. And every time that God looks at the palm of his hand, he thinks about you and your name, and he sings. Ain't that something? God, who is with us, is the same God who sings concerning us. As the commitment coaches come, as the commitment coaches and counselors come, maybe you've been struggling this week. Maybe you've had some hardship and difficulty, and you felt all alone. It seemed that all of your friends could not be called on nor counted on. But I need to provide you some assurance from the scripture that God is with you. Maybe you need to be assured of that today, that God is with you. These commitment counselors are standing in the front because they want to pray with you. They want to help to assure you that God is with you. They want you to be assured that his name is Emmanuel, no matter what your name is. You know, where I'm come from, there's some last names that carry some garbage with it. And maybe you were born into a family that with a last name that carries a bad reputation. But there's a greater family for you. Let me ask you something. If you were to die today, Do you know where you would spend eternity? If you were to die today and Jesus says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Let me tell you, you don't get to go to heaven because you're good. You don't get to go to heaven because you don't drink and you don't curse and you don't fornicate and you don't do all the sins that other folk do. You only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way to the Father. If you don't know him, the people around you are praying. And they're asking God that he would prick the hearts of those who may not know him to come into a saving knowledge of him. Let me ask you something else. Perhaps you just stopped in to visit today. You haven't been at church in a while. You don't have a church home. You're Christian, but you've isolated yourself from the church family. There's still time. We would love to have you, as the old folk would say, cast our lot, your lot with us. We'd love to have you be a member of this church. There's something I found out about this specific church. We're just not a collection of associates or friends. This church is family. And if you come and you want to be a part of this family, if God is calling you to be a part of this family, he's not just calling you to sit, he's calling you to serve. There are some chores that you have to do. If you want to be a part of the family, you want to be a part of this body of local believers. Now, let me tell you this. Everybody that's going to heaven ain't leaving from St. Paul at Shively Heights. There are some great pastors. There are some great churches in the Louisville area. If this is not the church of your choice, if this is not where God would have you cast your lot, we'd love to help you get to another church where you can serve and where you can grow, where you can learn the fact that God is always with you. Perhaps you just need prayer. It's been a hard holiday season for you. Perhaps this isn't the most wonderful time of the year for you, and you need somebody to pray with you. Don't be embarrassed. Come now. As a matter of fact, you go to the restaurant, you will be offended if the waiter or the waitress does not come and ask, how can I help you today? Well, today, not only do we offer salvation, but there are some other needs in the house, and we don't know what you may need if you don't let us know. There's still room. New life abound, abound I lay. Oh. Christ. There's still time. I pray we'll all be ready when he returns. Listen. I pray that we'll give our business straight so we can all meet at the gate. I pray we'll all be ready when he returns. So, I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready when he returns. If there be one, perhaps you want to be a candidate for baptism. You're saved. Jesus has been working on your life. But you have not committed to the act of obedience that shows publicly that God has saved your life. There's nothing special about the water in baptism. It is simply a symbol, somewhat like a marriage ceremony, that if you believed and if you want to be a part of the body, it's the public way to say so. Let me pray. So, Father God, we thank you for promising that you will always be with us in good times and bad times and in sadness and in sickness. You're there. So, God, we just want to take a moment and just simply appreciate you. Because when nobody else is with us, God is with us. God, we thank you for being with this church. We thank you for being with our pastor and his wife and his children and grandchildren. God, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for allowing us to serve. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. Commitment coaches, you may take your seats. Sister Linda, if you'll come and give us our announcements. Does anybody else have announcements today? So before they come, let me just give you one announcement. This Wednesday, Pastor Bingham and I will be having a conversation during the Bible study hour at 6:30. So we'll be talking about, we'll be hearing Pastor Bingham's life story and his transition into pastoral ministry, and be hearing some special things from him, so I beg that you would all, or I ask that you would all come and join us this Wednesday for that special time.